This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like you who want a great shave experience at a fraction of what you're paying, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code WhatTheTech when you check out. What the Tech? Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. And of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Throck. Paul, you're having a rough day, huh?
Pretty good. I mean, wait.
Yeah.
It's been one of those days.
Yeah. Well, me too. I just, you know what's bizarre? Okay, so we have this ad-free live stream, and it's not cheap for the year. It's a couple thousand dollars, a little over a couple thousand.
That sounds reasonable.
And the way that it works, you have to get like this box. It's like little, like this thing here. I don't know if you can see me touching it. This thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the people listening. yeah, sorry.
Sorry for the horrible visual you just got in your mind.
So I have to, like, that thing is like $710, something astronomical for that little streaming box. Turns out, I'm not 100% yet, but it's looking very likely that I am not able to do the one thing I really needed to do with this stream from that box.
The reason you got it.
The reason I got it, I cannot do it. Instead, I can, however, use their free software, which will allow me to do that one thing. So now, like, I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Like, really? Really? It's really crappy. It's really crappy when technology fails you when it's not supposed to.
I often joke that technology has never failed me, but it's sort of like a coping strategy because the truth is technology fails me every day. You know, like for example, Surface 3, which I was trying to install updates on. Couldn't get the updates installed, so I turned it off. And now it doesn't come back on. And it will come back on. I mean, oh, there it goes. But I mean, seriously.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know? So I think it's today. I'm going to show you something fascinating here for the people watching. You're going to see me do something here. Do you see what I'm doing here? I've literally I slid my volume up and down. It is not making a difference. Paul, why don't you talk for a second?
Hey.
Oh, look at
how
that.
You doing over there?
Is that doing anything?
I must sound really loud right now because you're doing that.
No, it's I've lost control of my entire show here today.
Yep. I always thought those switches were bullshit anyway, so it doesn't surprise me.
It's all smoke and mirrors here. Nothing is connected to anything.
Right. I'm just doing this off one of those snow globe-looking iPhone microphones or whatever.
Yeah. I've really, at this point, we're not even talking to anybody. We're just two lunatics staring at a wall. We're imaginary in our own minds. We've created this imaginary situation for both of us to be communicating with each other. You know what? As long as we're happy, who cares if we're insane?
Yeah. We're not hurting anyone.
No, nobody at all. But technology is really failing all of us today. I mean, you're having the Fios issue, and then the Ethernet issue, and then the webcam issue. I'm having
this
weird thing.
To be fair, it's a Paul issue. It's not a Fios issue. This is me. I mean, I don't know. Jeez, you'd think I'd be better at this stuff by now.
Well, you know what? Here's the good news. We're doing a show on a Tuesday, and we haven't done the show on a Tuesday in about 3 weeks. So we're back to our regular schedule. Everybody could be, you know, happy that we're back to our normal schedule. We do have a lot to talk about, luckily for them. We have to talk about, you know, a couple things. I want to touch on the Apple stuff again, because it's been almost a week since the announcement of their new product line, their stuff that they announced last week. Also, October 6th, are you going to be in New York?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about that
be
also.
New York before then as well, by the way.
Oh, look at this. Every week I get to see you now. This is amazing.
Yep.
This is amazing. I have a lot to talk about today, but before we do that, I want to talk about a great sponsor, and that's Harry's. Guys, I'm going to give you a real-life situation here. I lost my Harry's shaving kit. I don't know where it is. Jessica was cleaning out the bathroom the other day. We threw a lot of stuff, and I believe she threw it in the trash. And I actually have to call them and get them to send me another one. But I had to shave with the regular razors that I've been using for the last 15 years. I always get the stupid same razor every time because they work great for me before I used Harry's and before I realized how great Harry's is. So as I'm shaving, I'm literally ripping the hair out of my face because these razors, even though they're new, after one time use, they got so dull. They're unusable. It's crazy when you really probably don't even realize how bad they are until you go to a really high quality razor. The reason why Harry's is great, it's affordable. The razors are in great shape. They're handcrafted. They're very high end razors, made in Germany. They make good stuff over there in Germany. They're engineered with super sharpness and high performance. No more dull razors that suck. This is word for word what they're telling me to say, which is it's true. They're unbelievable, and also it's free shipping from Harry's. I know a lot of you guys already have a Harry's set, but the holidays are going to be coming up in the next couple months. This is a great gift. Harry's.com is the website. If you go to Harry's.com, you can sign up there. And if you use offer code WhatTheTech at checkout, guess what? You got $5 off your purchase over there. Harry's.com. You have a Harry's shaving kit, right, Paul?
Yep.
Yeah, I did too until just do without. So I've been shaving miserably with these awful razors. It's
sorry.
Yeah. I you know what? I was shaving this morning, and I like to shave in the shower because it makes my skin very soft, like a baby. I have skin of a baby. And I'm shaving, and I'm like, oh, this won't be bad. I mean, how bad could this be? I just like tore it didn't even tear my face. It tore the hair off my face. I was like, oh, God. Well, at least I could talk about this on the air because they're an advertiser today. So Harry's.com, use offer code WhatTheTech at checkout. Get $5 off your first purchase. I want to thank Harry's for supporting WhatTheTech and, of course, supporting the GFQ network. Paul, do you want? Let's talk about the event, October 6th, here in New York.
Okay. Yep.
What do we know so far?
Well, so I had written a post the other day speculating what they would announce. And actually, as it turns out, apparently in the metadata for the HTML email message that they sent out to the press, there is information corroborating what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
Not fully. I mean, in very general terms, right? So that, you know, we sort of feel like, I should say, I knew that there was going to be a September event for Lumia for the new flagships. Now they're commingling the events, you know, with Surface. But it looks like there will be new Lumia devices, which we know a lot about. New Surface device or devices. I've only heard about one. But some other people think there might be two. And a new Microsoft Band at the very least. And then some accessories. You know, there'll be special cases, Continuum docks, a new kind of speaker, things like that.
So it's going to be a multiple event, product event. Yeah.
Yep.
What do we know about the watch, the fitness band? Any major changes coming to it? Any kind of design changes?
So what I know is that it's going to be smaller, lighter, less bulky. It's going to be curved with a curved display. Mary Jo Foley has told me that it still won't be running Windows 10, which actually surprises me. I really expected this version to be the one that was, you know, Windows 10 IoT or some, you know, embedded version of Windows 10. But apparently that's not the case. I don't know either way on that one. But you know, honestly, the device as it stands now is a really nice fitness band. It's big and bulky, you know, but it does GPS. It's very accurate. It works cross platform. It works if you have an Android, Windows Phone, iPhone, which is kind of neat. And
so the curved display is interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm wearing one, right? So if you look at the other one, I can't see the screen. If you let me take it off.
Let me show you my giant fist.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, see how it's like flat like that.
Yeah.
Right, at the top. I don't know why I can't straighten this up probably. That's the display, right? And so, you know, you can kind of get a feel for it or whatever. And so
it gives you the illusion of that it curves. It kind of looks like it curves from top, but it doesn't
really.
Yeah.
I think there's a kind of a natural weakness here, although I've not broken it that way, but you know, you can kind of imagine how that might be an issue. And then, of course, the bottom is kind of bulky as well. And this is the heart rate sensor is on the bottom there.
So now it's going to be a thinner, better device. That's interesting because I think that that band is really underrated on the market when you compare it to like the Fitbit and stuff like that. Obviously, you're not comparing it to a smartwatch, but you can, you know, that you would compare this to like a Fitbit.
Yes. Yep.
So if it, obviously if you get a better design for it, it really it could do something in that market.
Yeah, I mean the latest Fitbits are nice devices. They're not as bulky as this. They are cross-platform, to be fair, and they do some of the same stuff, you know, sleep monitoring and so forth. There's a promise to Microsoft Band that hasn't really fulfilled itself yet. I mean, they like to talk about how it's kind of ironic and funny when you consider what's been happening with the Windows 10, but it tracks so much of what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's so much data that it generates and stores in the cloud that you can use all of this information to make good decisions about your health. Now, the problem is it doesn't do that stuff proactively. So, for example, almost a year ago when they first started talking to me about this, they said, you know, we're going to get to the point where it will say, well, we notice every Monday that you have, because, you know, remember, I should say that one of the things that Microsoft Band does is it doesn't just track your kind of fitness stuff. It can integrate with your Outlook-based, you know, calendar and contacts and all that stuff, you know, for messaging and phone and so forth. And so it will say, we notice every Monday you have a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. And right around 8:15 to 8:45, your heart rate goes up really high. You're clearly stressed out. These things are connected, you know, whereas like a typical fitness band wouldn't know about the productivity side of that.
Yeah.
And what they were saying was that they would be able to say, hey, maybe you should do, and maybe it was like a little bit of yoga, a little bit of, you know, meditation or something to calm you down, eat a banana, you know, whatever it might be. And that sounds wonderful. It sounds like a really neat kind of holistic life coach kind of a deal. It doesn't do any of that stuff. It doesn't do it at all. So, I expect over time those things will improve and, you know, that they'll, you know, have the solution that, you know, maybe is better than whatever else is out there. But, you know, you might recall when the Apple Watch came out, the one thing I really liked about it was it had this notion of, hey, it's been an hour, you need to stand up. You know, that's kind of a proactive way of looking at health. Like, it's like helping someone before this problem, not, hey, congratulations, it's been 20 years of you sitting on your butt, now you have diabetes. You know, like instead just kind of helping you, you know, not get to that point, right? Which I really like.
How accurate do you think it is with counting your steps and, you know, figuring out how many calories you actually burned?
So, I mean, those things are hard to test, right? And so over time, I've used many different fitness devices. You know, the Nike Fuel Band, I had two generations of that, at least two generations of Fitbit. There are the Android tracking devices. There was a Samsung Band as well as a watch, like an Android Wear watch. This device, Apple Watch, and all that kind of stuff. And so it's hard to say that these things are, like, this one's more accurate than this for most things. Like, steps is tough. The reason I don't think it matters is that as long as it's accurate to itself, that it's, you know, today you walked, you know, 5,000 steps, and then tomorrow you walk 4,900, and it makes sense because it was the same ratio of steps to steps. I think that kind of stuff is fine. The one thing I do know is accurate is the heart rate stuff, because I can measure my heart rate with a chest band, which is pretty much the most accurate kind of consumer grade way to measure your heart rate. And heart rate stuff, because it goes up and down all the time, right? And obviously, if there was a device sitting there pinging your heart rate every second, it would, you know, the battery would drain very quickly. But I feel like this thing does a good job with heart rate.
Okay.
Based on that evidence.
Yeah.
You know, steps, you know, distance. Well, actually, distance you could measure if you wanted to, but steps in particular, because steps is the measurement I use, and I think it's the measurement most people with these bands use, you know. So we'll see.
I'll give an example. So I only use the stuff that's on my Samsung, like the fitness app.
Yep.
And it automatically calculates
on your
every
phone.
Time. Yeah, on my phone. It automatically is doing everything. And the other day, I looked at it and I had met my goal, and it said, you ran for 3 minutes, but I didn't run. I don't know why you would think that.
You know, what about things like, I don't know if it's the Apple, I think the Apple Watch was pretty good about this, was distance and elevation. Actually, I think this one does that too. I don't go upstairs or anything. Does it? It doesn't really have a stair thing. That must be Apple Watch. you know, it has this notion of like height, like what do we call altitude or whatever.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So we're going to see the Fit Band. And then what were the other things? Let's go down the list here. Obviously, Surface Pro 4.
Yeah, Surface Pro 4 is the one that I've heard of and the one I've heard very little of, but supposedly same form factor as the 3, a little thinner, a little lighter, that kind of thing.
Not fanless.
No, because it's a Pro device, and so it has to have an iCore. You know, in a device as thin as a Surface, you have to dissipate heat in some way and all this. I mean, there's got to be something, right?
I mean, so, Intel had initially said that this which chipset is it using?
Which one?
The chipset.
No, which I mean the Surface Pro.
The Surface 3. Pro 4. What would it be using?
Well, Skylake. So it's okay. Core i3, Core i5, Core yeah. i7.
So yeah. They had, I remember a couple years ago, they said by this chipset, the iLine would be able to do fanless.
They're not really talking that way anymore, but I think the bigger deal is the thing that's changed over the past couple of years. Well, a couple of things have changed, but they filled in the middle between the Atom and the Core i chips with what they now call Core M, right? Core i, Core M. And the Core M literally sits in the middle. And the promise with Core M was kind of a balance in all things, power and power consumption, right, between Atom and you know, Core I. And so last year, remember when the first devices came out, you know, Intel was talking fanless, but a lot of the devices are not fanless. Some of them are and some of them aren't. And the ones that aren't are kind of disappointing. And so, you know, one of the rumors that I've heard nothing about, and I really don't even know where this originates, is that Microsoft might come out with a Core M based fanless Surface, like a non Pro Surface.
And that would take over for the RT Surface line.
Or for Surface 3, I guess.
Or Surface 3, yeah.
The only issue I have with that is Surface 3 just came out in the spring. And there's no, I mean, it doesn't mean they couldn't have Surface 3, Surface 4 or something, and that Surface 4 could be like a big device, 14-inch screen is one of the things people are talking about. But I need to be clear, I've heard nothing about that, and I can't confirm anything about that. I really don't. I actually kind of don't think it's happening. I would like to see it happen. It could also just be like a non-tablet device. It could be a 14-inch laptop.
Because the Surface 3 is running the Atom, right? It's an Atom chip.
Yeah, but it's that latest gen Atom, right? I think they're
the
called
Cherry
Atom
Trail.
Like M5, M7. Does that sound right? I think it's something like that kind of
from
that
I'm
kind
on
of a name.
Now. It says Atom X7.
X7. Yeah. Okay. X7, not M. Yeah, and so, you know, again, like all these chips, it's like, well, you know, Atom has a bad name. Celeron has a bad name. They're trying to, I don't know why they don't just change the name, but they're trying to push this generation, Cherry Trail, I guess, Atom chips as being, you know, much better performers than the previous versions. And actually, I have to say, Surface 3 meets that bar. I mean, it kind of runs like a Core M. It's not bad at all. You know, I go back to like, I was just doing some, you know, now that I'm home and I have access to all my machines again, I've been pulling out devices and, you know, I was using an HP Stream 11, which is a very small laptop. It's Atom-based. Actually, that's not true. It's Celeron-based. So never mind. Okay. But I was going to say it's kind of a nifty little device. I mean, obviously where it falls apart is performance. I mean, there's only so much you can do. You get 2 gigs of RAM, you know, low amounts of storage, slow storage, and not a fast processor. But actually, that's not an Atom. I'm sorry. That's a Celeron.
Okay, so we have the Surface stuff. We have obviously the band. Now the phone.
And the phone. And that's actually the thing I think we know the most about. And
City
we're
Man
reaching,
and Talk Man.
Yeah. We talked about this before. 950, 950 XL. I think it was 5.2 and 5.7 inch screens, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. You know, pretty decent specs. Weirdly, they're going to have like optical eye scanners instead of like a facial scan, which is kind of goofy for a phone. Like you hold it up to your eye or something.
Oh, no.
Supposedly.
I mean, that's insane, right? Who's going to do that?
20 megapixel camera, purview camera. That's good. It's the problem is there's a lot of problems. I mean, one is the development of Windows Mobile. Windows 10 Mobile has gone terribly. I really don't feel good about it. There are still some things I really love about Windows Phone / Windows 10 Mobile. And I'm getting nervous day by day that they're just not going to be able to come through in the kind of vision for this thing. But the other big and maybe bigger issue is that they're coming into the world with so many good choices. You know, the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus look awesome. The existing phones are awesome already. Doesn't matter. There are so many great Android phones, like the one you have, the Note series, which is incredible. The Moto X I just got is fantastic. And many more that I just don't know as much about. And it's really hard, I think, for Microsoft to get any interest, whether it's from like people who want to promote the stuff in the press or whatever, or just customers. You know, there's a very small group of people who you know, really care about this stuff.
So but who are those really people? Group of people. Who are those people?
Like me, you know.
Yeah.
people like Daniel Rubino, you know, who's a kind of enthusiast for Windows Phone stuff.
Not many.
There aren't many. No, there really aren't. I mean, there aren't. And the sad thing is I know over time a lot of these people have been kind of walking away because it's just too much, you know. And this is there's a kind of angsty discussion, and I don't want to name names, but I mean, when you think about the people in the industry who are kind of big supporters of Windows phones, we are all kind of nervously many of us are kind of nervously talking to each other, like, you know, we had a good run, but this thing, it's just not working out. Like there were things that Windows Phone was always much better at, and it was well ahead of the game,
and now it's falling behind.
It's falling behind, and it's falling behind in ways that are super important, you know? Like, there are goofy little things I don't like about the Moto X because I'm used to Windows Phone, and I really like some of the ways that that thing works. On the flip side, every single thing that's ever been made is available on Android, like everything, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a huge advantage to that.
Constantly updated.
Yeah. Yep.
So what is it about the development of Windows Phone 10 that has, you know, kind of falling apart?
It's never come together in any meaningful way. I mean, you know, when you think of the kind of broken promises around, you know, faster builds and more builds and blah, 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 like months go by between build releases. And supposedly this thing's coming out in the fall, and it's just, there's been a lot of regressions, like this stuff that was really unique about Windows Phone that's just gone now. A lot of the Lumia app stuff that blew right out of the water. The ability to do LinkedIn boxes, which I always thought was, you know, one of the most awesome things about Windows Phone, gone, you know.
So, but I don't understand why they're having such a hard time with the development of it, because they've known that, you know, October is kind of the date for this thing, right? That's been the number. That's been the date. And how final do you is the version that you're running right now? In your opinion?
In my opinion. See, my opinion is going to be dramatically different than, say, Microsoft's. Like, Microsoft will tell you that it's really close. We're doing fit and finish, bug fixes, blah, blah, blah. But they're, like, adding new features with every build. They're changing things pretty dramatically. I think what we're going to see is them release it in an unfinished state. They're going to rely on the fact that they'll be able to upgrade people directly this time somehow. And they're just going to ship updates like they're doing with Windows 10 for PCs.
That's a disaster.
Yeah. Here's why it's a disaster. You know, although I'm starting to wonder, because I've had enough issues in Windows 10 now where I am starting to wonder. But the party line, what I have been saying along, I'll take ownership of this, is that Microsoft originally intended to ship Windows 10 in October. And they kind of artificially bumped up the release date to July. And they had to make some cuts, right? So there's some stuff that didn't make it. And one of the things in Windows 10, I think, that was hurt the most by this was Edge, the new browser, shipped in a horribly incomplete state. But I think most of it seemed pretty solid. Like, it was pretty solid overall, despite this, right? And that, you know, October, maybe now November, because they can kind of eke past the time now that it doesn't really matter anymore. Whenever this update comes out that brings us up to what Windows 10 would have been, you know, we'll see a more complete vision of what Windows 10 would have been and whatever. It doesn't really matter because they're going to update this thing over time. But, you know, there's a big, big difference between the quality, or there was a big difference between the quality of Windows 10 for PCs in pre-release state, especially over the last couple of months, you know, because if we would talk back in April, I was nervous about July. and Windows 10 Mobile, which has never achieved any level of, you know, stability or reliability or anything. I mean, it's crazy how much is broken every time they come out of the gate with a new build. And so on the plus side, I guess it impacts a lot fewer users, right? Because there aren't that many people using Windows Phone, and they're really limiting which people will be able to get it as an upgrade on day one anyway. And we'll see how that goes. But what I expect to see is like Cityman, Talkman, whatever else they release, will come out in November, probably like they always planned. And certain key features either won't work or won't work as well as they will eventually because, you know, they had to meet this date. And the problem is there, you know, there are just too many people who don't care, you know, and the people who do care are probably going to be a little burned by this. Some of them will just accept it because we certainly have our cheerleaders in this industry who are just happy to get anything from Microsoft. I don't know. I'm nervous about Windows phones. You know, it's hard for me to.
Well, the other thing is, you know, the argument has been that these two phones that they're announcing are not real flagships. They're higher end phones, but they're not the flagship for Microsoft.
So what? Again, I mean, I've heard that complaint. I am personally more willing to hold them in my hand before I judge them to be lacking in any way. I mean, I guess what I realize you didn't originate this, but I mean, what in your opinion would make it or not make it a flagship?
I don't know. I'm looking at it, and I haven't held it, obviously, like you, but I can't.
No, I haven't. Yeah,
I don't know what wouldn't make it a flagship, and a lot of people from the complaints.
Processor, is it?
No, from the complaints that I've seen, people are just saying that it looks cheap. It's plasticky. Maybe because we got used to a glass, you know, the glass back on the iPhone, the aluminum back on the iPhones. Now, you know, it's a plastic back. It's a plastic cover. Is that the reason why people are complaining? Or I think a lot of people are thinking that there's going to be a Surface phone and that'll be Microsoft's flagship phone. And the Lumia line will just be, you know, everything else. That's my theory. I think people have manifested this Surface phone in their minds at the moment. And anything other than that will be a secondary phone.
We never intended to talk about this topic, but I think you have touched on something that I think is a very serious problem with Windows Phone. And I should say with the Windows Phone community, which is this. It's always been lacking in some way, right? Right out the door. I mean, you can't come out with something brand new and have it not be missing features. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, if you're going to start over from scratch, that initial release is not going to have everything. And that's life. So Windows Phone 7, it's hard to remember this far back, but one of the things it couldn't do was copy and paste, remember? And once we added copy and paste was the thing that anyone who was just sort of mindlessly a critic of Microsoft or just wanted to ignore a Windows Phone could say, I'm not going to talk about this thing. It doesn't even do copy and paste, or it doesn't even do real multitasking, or it doesn't even have a way to see which applications are running and arbitrarily shut them down manually, or it doesn't have these features that I kind of know from other mobile platforms. And so from the perspective of the critics, those things, and you can go to each version and point, you know, figure out which things were missing from every release and say, for the critics, these were the reasons why they could feel safe in ignoring Windows Phone, which they really wanted to do anyway because they love iPhone maybe or whatever. But for the community, for the people who really care about Windows Phone, the sad other side of that coin was, well, when release 8.1 comes out or 8.2 or 10.0, whatever it is, and they add this feature, everything will be fine.
And that doesn't happen.
You know, it's always been this thing, you know, there's always an excuse. Like, we would be successful if they would just do this, you know? And so as frustrating as the past year for me was where Microsoft never released like a flagship phone, and I know a lot of people share that frustration. If I'm being honest with myself, if Microsoft had shipped a flagship phone last fall, if they had shipped another one in the spring, and if we were coming up to these two new ones and they were just the latest in a long line of whatevers, the truth is, Windows Phone would still have 2.5% market share, and it wouldn't have mattered in the slightest.
Yeah,
the only difference is Microsoft would have spent the time and money to develop, market, and produce these devices, put them into the marketplace, and watch nobody buy them, except for people like me. So the problem is none of these things that people complain about are going to solve any problems. There's no time or place where Windows Phone becomes successful. It doesn't happen.
Okay,
it's
so
not going to happen.
So I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and I mean, I may not be playing it. I may be speaking the truth, but why do people have BlackBerries? They had BlackBerries and they hung on to BlackBerries because of enterprise support. Why do people get iPhones? Because they're beautiful and the ecosystem. Why do people buy Android phones? Because it is readily available and it's everywhere, and there's 1,000 apps for it. Why do people buy Windows phones? Or why should I buy a Windows phone? You know what I mean?
Why, like, right.
There's
so look. I mean,
there's not that one thing that they do better than everybody else. I mean, well, there probably is. The cameras. The cameras are great.
There is. And honestly, the user interface, I think, has been the big thing. I mean, there's been other things, and unfortunately, Microsoft has chipped away at it, and obviously, their competitors have chipped away at the advantages as well. Microsoft's user experience or user interface advantage, which I still feel holds pretty much today, is going away, but not in the way that I thought. Like if you look at I was just complaining to my wife about this. For example, on Android, you have the semblance of live tiles in these widgets.
Okay, yeah.
But widgets are not, they're not as nice as live tiles because, for example, like I want to put a weather widget on my home screen, but I want it to be, you know, two icons wide by one icon high. That does not exist for the thing that I have that I want to use. It has, you know, four wide and one high, or two wide,
four by
and two
one,
high.
Or one by four. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's not, you know, it's not arbitrary. Like I can't decide. I want there to be a live weather display up in the corner of my screen, but I also want it to be smaller than it is. And I can't replicate that kind of Windows Phone experience on Android. Now on iOS, it's even worse. They don't have live anything. I mean, they have little numbers on icons. You can like, look, I have two new emails, or I missed a conversation on Facebook or something. So that's been kind of a neat advantage for Windows Phone, but it's going away, right? So it's going away in two ways now that I've identified. One is the Google Now, Siri proactive stuff, which I think is maybe the future of interacting with these devices that we don't think. And if Google has their way, this will work totally on Google, which is we don't think about apps, right? We just have this interface where it knows what I want. And then if I don't see it, I can just ask for it, which is a little bit like live tiles, you know, a little bit. It's actually a lot better. With iOS, I guess it's actually iOS 9.1 or whatever the version of iOS that's going to be on the iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, you see, like, the ability to dive into things without leaving the screen you're on, right? Yeah. It's only on the one device. You know, Apple moves slowly. They don't release this thing for everybody, right? So maybe next year we'll start to see the first touch, you know, 3D touch iPad screens, and you know, who know, you know, however they do things. But you're seeing the beginning of icons in and out is not enough. In fact, during that presentation, the Apple presentation, I think it was Phil Schiller used the language I use to complain about the iOS interface, which I call whack-a-mole, in and out, in and out, in and out.
It's not fluid. Yeah.
No. And he was saying that, he said, for example, email is like that. So you're looking at a list of email messages, and you're like, oh, this is an email message I might have to deal with. And you tap on it, and so you display the thing full screen. And then you look at it, you're like, oh, actually, I want to deal with this later. So what do I do next? Mark it as unread, go back out to the email list.
Yeah.
He's like, in, out, in, out, in, out. And I'm like, right, that's iOS, right?
Yeah.
And so but now they're trying to solve that problem. So we'll see how that goes. By the way, I have a meeting at 4:30.
Okay.
And unfortunately, because this thing went late, I'm going to have to you know, bail in time for that.
Okay, no problem.
Sorry.
No problem at all. It's interesting, and I'm a little concerned at this point. I wasn't a couple of weeks ago, but I'm a little concerned with where they're going to go with Windows Phone. You know, my whole idea was that, well, it's going to be a very slow climb, but they'll get to 5.5%. They'll get to 6.5%.
Yeah.
It'll be a slow climb. You know, all they need is that one phone.
I actually have, I think we talked about this recently. In the old days, for me, success for Windows Phone would meant double-digit market share. Remember, 10%.
Okay. Now we're settling on 6.5.
Well, no, 6.5. I would take 5. I mean, like, seriously, at this point, it's like, I just, you know, it's like diminished expectations. I mean, we're never going to hit 10%. What are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, worldwide, there's no way. No way. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. So let's move.
We're Linux.
Yeah.
That's who. Nobody wants to.
And
be
listen,
Linux.
I don't think they're going to kill. I'm having a lot of problems here with this headphone. Jeez, this is like it's like pulling on me. Now I need to give myself some slack here. I don't see it, you know, falling apart and Microsoft saying "Mayday, Mayday" and pulling the plug on it. But I do see it becoming a less of a market that Microsoft is trying to tap into. Slowly,
Microsoft is probably already making more money from Android and iOS than they are from Windows Phone.
Yeah,
right. I bet they are.
Yeah,
and I you know, it's a lot of it won't be direct money. It's going to be stuff like Office 365 subscriptions that people use on their iPads and iPhones or whatever. It doesn't matter. What's going to happen is they will probably keep making these things, and they will keep making the OS because they have to. They'll always be looking forward to the next big thing, and maybe some expertise in manufacturing of hardware or making of software will help them make this leap to the next thing, whatever it is, wearables, blah, 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 whatever. And there will be people who will make fun of them for doing that. And there will be people who will cheerlead them on and say, look, see, it's not dead. You said Windows Phone was dead. You know, yeah, Microsoft is still making it. You're a jerk.
Yeah.
And it's like, I you know, okay.
Or maybe they'll release this mythical, you know, this Surface phone, and it'll be what people want to buy. You know, it could just be the flavor of that year, and they could put something out and go up to, you know, 6% market share, and we could all celebrate, put on our party hats.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Yeah.
I don't either. But I don't know.
I like it. I mean, I see the potential in it. I think that Windows 10 Mobile would be great on like tablets and things like that. But on the other hand, when you look at what they did with Windows 10 for PCs, and they have tablet mode and Continuum and just full screen, start screen, whatever. You know, it's honestly, that works pretty good too.
You know, the advantage that Microsoft had, obviously, with Windows Phone is the interface. It's a beautiful device, like software wise. It's a beautiful interface. Two, it was the camera. And some people will argue and say people don't care about the camera. I think a lot of people do, especially now everybody's taking these phenomenal photos on their iPhones and their Android phones now that are you know, debatable when you compare it to a DSLR shot on what looks better. I mean, it's gotten really good. It's not there yet, but it's gotten really good. And for the longest time, Microsoft did have an advantage. The 1520 had a great camera. The 1020 had a great camera. It's probably still better, but is it leaps and bounds better than my Samsung phone with no bulge on the back, by the way? No, I don't think it's leaps and bounds better.
I don't think it's better anymore either. I mean, we've been kind of holding on to this kind of fantasy for a few years now. I mean, I think the iPhone cameras have absolutely caught up and exceeded whatever happened on Lumia at one point. I think the Samsung Galaxy S6, which is the one you have, right, is better. You know, I would say overall as well. And, you know, and there are other things, you know, it's not just pure picture quality. I think all these phones are pretty close to each other. It's a lot of it has to do with speed of, you know, pocket to picture, like Microsoft used to call it, or just the ability to bring the phone up and get a picture going, you know, and then while you're taking pictures, to be able to take pictures quickly.
Yeah.
You know, click, 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 and have it actually go. And the newer phones that are not Windows phones do that better than the Microsoft phones.
Yeah. Paul, let's take a moment. We're going to talk about, I want to revisit something with you for the next 15 or so minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Before I do that, guys, we do a bonus show each and every week. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it do it this week. We're running out of time. Paul has something to attend. But,
yeah, sorry.
No problem.
Busy day.
But every week we do a bonus show called What the Talk. We record it live. So if you're watching live, you get full access to it. If you're not watching live, this is bonus material for Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/whatthetech, you can fund us. Nickels, dimes, whatever you want to fund us. Whatever you think we're worth. And it helps us, you know, along the way. And we try to keep the show limited with the ads. And we try to update everything here at the GFK Network. We provided a live stream, an ad-free live stream. I know a lot of you had issues with the bombardment of commercials from our CDNs. So now we have a live stream provided by Livestream that is ad-free. And that's all thanks to you guys. You guys are funding that. Go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us there. Also, if you want to support the GFQ Network, you can do so by using our Amazon link. It's gfq.co/Amazon. That's gfq.co/Amazon. Bookmark it, and whenever you buy something on Amazon, we get a tiny little credit. And you know what I did today, Paul? I bought coffee for the studio.
What does that entail?
Every time people come to the studio and they do shows, everybody wants coffee. And they drink like four cups of coffee a day. Rich comes and does a show. He's drinking like four cups of coffee. Coco comes. He's drinking four cups of coffee. I'm sitting in the studio. I'm drinking four cups of coffee. So I just buy these the K cups, the Keurig cups now, and I just keep it in the studio. Right. So whenever someone comes, they just grab it and they just make it right here.
Nice.
Yeah, it's easy breezy. So gfq.co/Amazon. Yeah, it's like an espresso machine. Morales are up here at the GFQ Network.
Yep.
That's all I had to do.
As our heart rates.
Yeah. So you could help us out there. Paul, I want to revisit something from last week. We took some time and we spoke about the Apple event. And, you know, it's been a week. We've gotten our thoughts together. I want to talk about the Apple TV and the potential this device has to really shake up this market again. It did so a couple of years ago, about 3-4 years ago. We got tremendous market share. Obviously, Apple did not continue developing this thing every year, yearly. And it kind of fell behind. You know, things like the Amazon Fire really caught on. Roku has done a great job. But now is the time that Apple could really shake this market up again and really go leaps and bounds over its competition in two ways. One, with gaming. Two, with the App Store.
Right.
Amazon's App Store, obviously, is far, you know, it's open, but the development has been very slow for the Amazon Fire. Tremendously slow.
Yeah, they've seen very little success, apparently, outside of the lowest-end tablets.
Okay, like,
that's
so
pretty
do you
much
know why?
All that sells for them.
I'll tell you why the Fire TV has had issues. They have an App Store. You can't actually go in and search the App Store.
Right.
It picks and chooses the apps it wants to display. But if you use your, I guess, the voice and you say, you know, GFQ Network or Guys from Queens, it'll pull up the app from the App Store. But I can't actually click on a button that says App Store and searching, you know, the top apps. It's clunky. I'm sure they're going to update that. I'm sure they're going to change that later down the line. This was obviously a first-gen device for them, but if Apple implements a really, I guess, packed App Store, they really could change the way the market goes with this device.
Yep, I agree. I'm not sold on the games aspect.
Okay.
I know that's
a big
selling
point. Tell me why. And,
just because it's never worked for anyone. And
it hasn't worked for a number of reasons. One, because the games suck. Two,
Well, maybe, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I think there are some. I don't play a lot of mobile games. I mean, so, you know, this is me talking about something maybe I don't know much about, but I have played some mobile games, and some of them that are quite good, I think would transfer very well to the Apple TV, like the Telltale Games type games, like the Walking Dead game that they make. They have a Game of Thrones. Actually, they have a couple Walking Dead games.
Infinity Blade.
Game of Thrones. Yeah. Yep, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are going to be sideways scrollers. There are going to be flying games. There are going to be driving games. All this stuff. I think that stuff is terribly boring. I think the place where Apple TV could succeed is going to be in the some Wii type games. You know, with the motion stuff, which looks kind of interesting. Accelerometer. And then I don't know what to call these games. They're kind of like the kooky kind of games, like the ones that are kind of like Monument or the Hitman Go type games, puzzle games or whatever. They're games that, you know, remember they showed a Frogger type game during the keynote, and it was kind of a mix of like Frogger with pseudo 3D graphics, but it was also like 8-bit graphics, like Minecraft type graphics. I think games like that sort of push gameplay over graphic quality will do well on this thing. And you know, we'll see, but I just don't.
Well, for me, it really comes down to, you know, them reaching out to the developers and saying, guys, we need to start developing for this platform. I think we could grow it.
You know,
I don't care for the Frogger game. You know what I want? I want a good side scroller. Why can't I have a good side scroller? But I don't want to use that controller either. That's my other issue.
It does work with controllers. I actually think it was a big mistake for Apple not to ship a controller of their own.
Or announce a partner control. Or announce, you know, Belkin or Logitech.
Well, no, there are controllers that will work with it. They did. That's part of it. There are you know, Xbox style controllers. Those things will exist.
Yeah, because it has Bluetooth.
You know, that's never been done well either, though. I mean, that exists on Google Play. I did not buy the controller for that one because I've already struck out with the other one it works on, which is the Amazon Fire TV, and I do have the Amazon controller. And yes, it works with the handful of games that have been converted to work like that. So you can drive, you know, the driving games, flying games, whatever. And I just find myself not caring. I could be wrong. You know, again, this could be totally wrong because it's Apple and who knows. But I think but by the time you pick up a controller, you're pretty serious about games and you want a real console. And if you don't need a controller, we're talking what we, you know, kind of call casual games, mobile games, you know, that kind of thing. It's very possible that the surface of the remote will be enough for that, some of those interactions. I don't know if it supports like two or more controllers so people can play together, which would be kind of neat. I don't know. I don't see this as the big deal. I think the app thing is humongous. And I think that's where Apple's strengths will come into play. And when you combine that with this future TV subscription thing, it's going to go right over the top. I think that's where they're going to succeed.
Yeah, the app thing is going to be tremendous.
Well, Andrew, you know, by the way, consider this for a moment. So Apple puts out their own device. Google puts out their own device. Amazon puts out their own device. Microsoft will call the Xbox its own device because we don't really have anything else to point to. The Apple One will be the only one on which every content store will exist. I'm sorry, not content store, but every content provider will exist.
So you're talking ABC,
Microsoft
NBC.
Would be insane not to put Groove Music on that.
Yeah.
Google would be insane not to put all of their stuff on it. Google Play, whatever they call it, videos, Google Play Music. Amazon would be crazy not to put Amazon Video on that thing, right? And if that happens, and we, by the way, we don't know this for a fact that all of those things will occur, but if it does, that will be the only one that has everything.
Okay.
And that alone makes it interesting.
Do you know what other feature I think I really overlooked last week that Apple's the only one that does?
What's that?
The only other thing. Universal search. So let's say I want to watch Private Parts, and I go Private Parts into the device. It'll pull up every...
No, but it does. Okay, so actually, that's not technically true. It only pulls up supported apps.
Hulu, Netflix.
Yeah, no, right. But you can do Apple that on Store. Roku right now. You can do it on Amazon.
Amazon does not do that.
But not only
Amazon apps. Only Amazon Prime.
So Roku has universal search.
Does it?
Yep. And so yeah. So for example, like I'll want to watch something like make up some movie, whatever it might be. I'll search for it outside of the apps, and it will say, you get it for free with Netflix, you get it for free with Amazon Video, or you can rent it on Amazon Video, you get it with Vudu or whatever that service is.
Mine doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe because I have an older one.
That could be. Yeah.
I
think you're right that they'll get that right, and I think that what getting that right entails is developers to opt into the system, which all of them will do on Apple, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Paul, let's wrap it up. What do you say? Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
We had a rough day, guys. We've had a rough day here. You know, Paul had some issues. I had some issues, but now it's over. We're going to miss you guys. We're back to Tuesdays. So, everybody could be happy that we're back to our regular schedule.
I'm gonna plug something on the back of my computer.
Yeah, Paul's gonna rip out all the cords. I'm gonna go have a pumpkin IPA.
Ugh, man, I need to drink.
I know you don't like the IPAs.
No, I pumpkin IPA would try.
Yeah, I'm gonna go have a pumpkin IPA. Paul's gonna try not to jump out his window. Go to our website gfkeynetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian on Twitter. You can follow Paul at The Rot. Therot.com, everything Paul Therot, a lot of stuff happening there. Paul gives updates. Isn't it like a lifestyle blog? You just give updates about what you're doing that day?
Yep. Yeah. Tomorrow morning we're going to do yoga live on Periscope.
You know what? I did yoga this morning.
Did you?
I did. Jess and I do yoga in the mornings. And we're going to Periscope.
That surprised me in the slightest.
go to our website, guys. Subscribe to us wherever our podcasts are available. And we'll see y'all next week.